Miami, done and dusted.
Or like is
Yeah, or is it? Or is it? This is actually, we're going to revisit Miami, Rye Guy, but through, we had the fan cam on our Instagram. We were sharing the stories of all our fans who were there, sharing videos and pictures with us. Now we're going to do, I guess, the fan mind, right? Yeah. We're gonna go into the mouth of the fan here.
Fan feedback.
Yeah, the fan feedback episode here.
Fucking right, what a fucking idiot.
Come on, get that McLaren out of here. This guy is a fucking joke.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. And he just went off.
Going to retirement. Tony, man, vomiting. Going here, I'm vomiting. I'm going to drive.
Understood. Stop.
This is Purple Sector, Helmut and Rye Guy on the mics.
I can't believe fan mind was the best you could come up with right there.
Is that what I said from the fan mind?
The fan mind.
Yeah. Welcome to the fan mind. Forget hive mind.
Fan feedback.
It's all about fan mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, thank you all for joining Purple Sector here. We're going to get into a lot of your guys' hollers at us. Remember to holler at us. 904-8-PURPLE, that's 904-878-7753 to leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text. Also slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on social media to join the mailbox box that we're going to get into today for future episodes. And go to our YouTube channel, search Purple Sector F1 Podcast, subscribe, smash the like, etc. And we're going to start cranking out some good stuff on there, so spread the word.
Yeah, we're working on getting this studio set up for video, so you're going to see our mean mugs pretty soon.
Video. So you guys just heard how to send messages to the mailbox box box. Now it's time to crack it open.
Box box.
This is going to be a fun one, because we had several listeners who were there. We got plenty of feedback from the listeners that weren't there, and it's all fun. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, so Ryan, we're going to kick off. Donna was there from the US of A at the Miami Grand Prix.
Yep.
So she was in row 5 across from the Mercedes Red Bull garages in the start-finish grandstand. That's primo positioning there.
Those are baller seats. Donna was balling down in Miami.
I mean, that's very similar to what you had the last time you went to Canada, to the Canadian Grand Prix, right?
Yep.
That sort of on the pit straight, you know, the final start-finish straight across from the pits.
Yeah, and what's funny is it was the same thing right across from Mercedes and Red Bull.
Yeah.
Because they're always finishing 1-2 most years in the constructors, so they're always next to each other.
They're the first ones
in
at pit entry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, should we knee him into day one? You want to take day one?
Yeah. Donna is a sweetheart. She gave us...
Sorry, I cut you off with a knee him.
So, Donna is a sweetheart. She gave us an update every day about how it was each day. So, we are very grateful for that. Moot, why don't you get us started with day one from Donna?
Okay, day one. We have to get in the mood, man. We have to speed down into her seats. So she said, I tried to buy merch, but the lines were too long all day. It was super hot, and there were way too many outdoor seating areas with no cover, so no one was using them. I always love that, right?
Yeah.
As an aside from what she was saying, that sometimes they think like, oh, they're going to need somewhere to sit. Let's just put like a whole gaggle of seats or something here. And it's like, yeah, you're putting it in the middle of the sweltering sun or the middle of like a walking area. Of course, it's not going to be utilized. Like people are looking for shade, a cold drink, you know?
Yes.
Like, they don't want to just sit in a chair because, oh, I'm so tired. Let me sit in the hot sun for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that's indicative of what this whole Grand Prix weekend felt like. It's like somebody a couple years ago came up with the idea of a race in Miami. They planned everything, and then when it was said and done, they were like, oh, shit, we forgot how hot it gets in Miami.
That's the thing. The only thing providing cover was the highway overpasses, right?
Pretty much.
Otherwise, you were basically in a parking lot having to fend for yourself getting blasted with UV rays.
Yeah, Donna, you never mentioned it because you probably didn't do it, but did you ride the gondola? I want to know if
we need a gondola feedback. And I know if someone rode the gondola, Ryan, they have pictures and or video. So we need insider info, insider video and pics from the gondola.
Yes. I want to know how much they were charging for the gondola, if anything, if it had air conditioning, And lastly, how many people were they cramming into those fuckers?
I hope it had AC because whenever they showed it, it looked like it was moving, but it was super slow. Didn't it look super slow?
Like it's probably because it wasn't moving.
That's the thing, too. I was like, is it moving or not? Is this the camera panning or is the gondola actually moving?
I'm guessing that they weren't running it during the sessions for safety reasons.
I don't know, because it was during sessions. They're like, there's the gondola. They look like they're... But again, it could be these optical illusions from the cameras, the wire cams, the
who knows?
Whatevers.
But let's get back to Donna.
Sorry, so Donna just got us on a tangent because she mentioned, of course, the outdoor seating areas had no shade. So no one was sitting in these chairs. They're just taking up space.
Right.
Then she continued to say, we did stop for a while, though, and rest at the Champagne Garden.
That sounds like a nice spot.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
sounds like a great way to cool down.
Yeah, when you try and build up your backyard and create like a little bar area for your friends when they come over, right? You plant a couple succulents and maybe a rose bush or something. You go, hey, come to the Champagne Garden.
Champagne Garden,
can I pour you some bubbly? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Champagne Garden sounds lovely.
Shit gets weird in the Champagne Garden.
Yeah, exactly. The Champagne Room gets very weird. The Champagne Garden sounds a little more classy. Donna goes on to say, it was unbelievably hot for practice two. We saw one lady being taken out with heat exhaustion. And then she closes out with really fun, crazy, super hot day. So...
I love
that they're dropping like flies around Donna, and she's just like...
But you want to know why Donna had a fun day? Because she's a fucking survivor, dude.
Yeah,
she survived.
She knows how to survive. I bet that other broad who they dragged out on the stretcher was sitting in those chairs with no cover on them, you know?
Yeah, she probably went
Donna knows how to do it. She's cooling off in the Champagne Garden.
Yeah, she probably went to one of the cooldown zones and... die from heat exhaustion.
Sounds like it. Ryan, right. You want to knee him over to day two and take that?
Yeah. All right, day two. The weather was much better due to cloud coverage. After FP3, we headed to the beach and ate at the Hard Rock Cafe. And as an added bonus, a band called The Vibe played while we ate. All in all, a good day. So it sounds like day two was where everyone's vitals weren't under attack from the Florida heat.
Yeah, so this is FP3 in qualifying.
Yep.
And so when she says ate at the Hard Rock Cafe, is there a Hard Rock Cafe right by the Dolphins Hard Rock Stadium, or was it a temporary setup in the...
It must have been over by the beach grandstand, because she said
they did
beach.
Put like a temporary one in there.
It's all pop-up stuff.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Hard Rock, I've never gone to a Hard Rock and had a bad time. You know?
I've never gone to a Hard Rock.
Well, we need to get you out there then. Hey, Donna. We need a set of reservation.
Where
Ryan and I are going to come out to a Hard Rock Cafe with you. You need to be our steward, our shepherd.
Where are there Hard Rocks? Is there one in D.C.? Like, where is the one?
No, I feel like you can only go to Hard Rocks out of the U.S. now almost. You know?
Oh, really? Well, there's obviously
like,
one in Vegas.
They're always international when I've seen them. Like, I know I was in Aruba a couple of years ago, and there was a Hard Rock Cafe there that I went to, you know?
Makes sense.
Yeah, because everyone just wants the Hard Rock t-shirt with... wherever it was, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Hard Rock Bahamas, Hard Rock Milan, Hard Rock F1 Miami Grand Prix.
Exactly.
Were they selling t-shirts there, Donna? That's the other question.
Of course. Of course they were.
I'm talking about specifically the Hard Rock Cafe shirts.
Yes, they were shilling every piece of merch on the planet in
Hell
Miami.
Yeah. Also, Ryan, we need to get some, what was the vibe, you know? The vibe makes
she
me think of
video.
Like The Cure.
She sent the video
of
the
vibe.
Yeah,
we have a video of the vibe.
Yeah, I'd have to watch it again to explain what kind of genre it was. But it was kind of like almost a mix between go-go and like typical Miami, sort of tropical Latin fare.
I'm feeling like that.
It was pretty good.
Played well with the temperature and the locale, right?
I would have been vibing hard to the vibe.
Yeah, vibe
live.
On the vibe for sure. Day three, Ryan, take this one as well.
The driver's parade was fun. Just wish more drivers would have sat up high so we could see them. Because it was hot as balls. They were all hiding under umbrellas.
Oh, that was... And they were in regular cars, too, not like a big bus, from what I could see. They were getting in, like, Ferrari.
Actually, some of them had umbrellas, some didn't, now that I think about it.
But I saw, at least when I started watching the coverage, and they were getting into road cars, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't
it was.
Like
it was
the
like
old bus or, you know, a bunch of people on supercars. Yeah, exactly. They
yeah,
had
I remember because
supercars.
Lewis's driver was blasting music, which Lewis loved, and then Mick Schumacher made his driver get in shotgun, and Mick drove the car. There was a lot of funny stuff going on in the driver's parade.
This was a good throwback to the driver's parade, because I'm kind of not a big fan of when they just get in the big bus and they're hanging out on the railing, you know?
Yeah. All right, so she went on to say, when you were crossing the bridges, the footbridges, they had these metal steps that got really hot, and if you looked down at them at the wrong angle, they blinded you.
Yeah, everyone's experienced that.
She sent a picture of it. It's literally that chrome diamond pattern metal staring,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like a mirror.
That's crazy, though, that she says they get really hot, because I'm imagining she's in, like, sandals.
Maybe.
And it's that hot that you can feel it through just your soul of your sandals or around your sandal sole on your feet, you know?
Yeah, and just the reflection as well.
Oh, it's like an oven. I bet those things were about, you could probably fry an egg in about 2 seconds on that.
Definitely. She went on to say, the race was awesome to see up close. We loved all of it. When I bought the tickets, they were advertised as having a view of the podium, but I guess they changed their minds and put it way far away. Yeah, that's kind of, that's shitty of them, Donna. If I were you, I'd make a stink. I'd send some emails about that.
Yeah, so that is interesting. So originally the podium was going to be on the start-finish straight.
Yeah, but then they put it in the next county.
And then they moved it, yeah, to the other side of the stadium, right?
Yeah, I think it's in a different area code.
So yeah, for sure. Get your money back from whomever. What's the name of the Dolphins owner?
I don't know.
Or you can get it back from Kygo or whomever. Yeah.
Blast Kygo with some emails about that. She said, that was a little annoying. Agreed. Very annoying. People I saw on the track, Gunther, Gene Haas, Toto, Otmar, Andretti, Schumacher, K-Mag, Daniel Ricciardo, Roman Grosjean, and Paris Hilton. Parentheses, she was waving at the crowd and no one seemed to care. All in all, a great trip. Won't go back due to the heat. Looking for a great place in Europe for 2023. And she asked for our suggestions for Europe.
Who didn't she see? Huh?
She saw
Sounds like she saw every team principal almost.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of name dropping Donna did right there. That's a good job, Donna.
Yeah.
Europe. I think the one that's on the top of my list to see in Europe is probably Austria. Or Zandvoort.
That was going to be mine, Zandvoort, because it's a beach vacation also.
Yeah, it's a beach town.
Yeah. You can rent a place right there on the beach nearby and then ride your bike to Zandvoort.
You know? You're literally not allowed to drive in Zandvoort.
I would just go like a week or two and hang out at the beach on the shore the whole time and then bike over for the Grand Prix weekend.
A week or two.
Sure. I mean, she's looking for it. It's a built-in vacation, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to go there and stay on the beach just for the race weekend, because then all you're doing is shuffling back and forth to the track, you know? I'd like to at least get a few days on the front or the back end to actually enjoy those Dutch shores.
You just get there a day or two early.
Right.
All right, next, Kurt from the USA hit us up on Instagram. He was there. He was sitting in the beach grandstand. That's where every time they showed the mermaids? Yeah, the mermaids were across from there.
So the Hard Rock Beach Club is across from the beach grandstand.
Yes. Yeah. That's where like all the sand and tiki huts were and the pool with the mermaids.
Love it.
And the stage where some of those artists were performing. So he said, couple of observations from the weekend. One, it was fucking hot. Two.
That checks out. Donna had the same comments. Right?
Yes.
She said, I'm not going back because of the heat.
Yeah. Kurt said, one, it was fucking hot. Two, most hot chicks I've ever seen in one place ever. Three, most silicone and Botox I've ever seen in one place. It was awesome.
Those are kind of the same line, right?
Right. Post Malone was doing his concert right across from us. Everyone was pretty much hammered. Mostly Ferrari, Checo, and Alonso fans in the stands.
That Checo's out, right? Because in North America, at least, I feel like Checo has, because there is no American driver, Checo has the biggest support, you know?
Yeah, it's just McLaren has a ton of support.
It's McLaren as a team because of, I think, the hot young studs that they have driving for them. At least one stud, Lando Norris. We can't call Danny Rick a hot young stud anymore.
No, he's an old man now.
The color scheme is great, and every poll comes back with McLaren being the favorite team and Lando being the favorite driver of most people.
Right. So the way Kurt wrote this, he wrote it like this. Everyone was pretty much hammered, mostly Ferrari, Checo, and Alonso fans. He might literally be saying that those are the ones that were the most hammered.
That is a good point. Based on the punctuation, we can't be sure if he means...
We can't be sure.
Was that related to the everyone who was hammered, or is that what he noticed fan-wise?
I think everyone was hammered.
I think it's all... Both are correct.
Dude, the only way you could beat the heat this weekend if you were there was to get hammered.
Yeah. So let's see what Brian from the USA texted us as well. Also in the beach grandstand.
That's where the party was at.
Yeah. So he said, can't decide which team I want to choose to be a lifelong fan of. I'd buy some gear if it didn't all look so goddamn European. And then he eventually caved and bought a McLaren shirt and said, quote, least European looking piece of merchandise I could find. It's funny because my question to him is, by European, does he mean sizing? Because you and I have had this discussion.
Yes, he means
sizing and cut and all that.
They only make Formula One merchandise in one size, and it's extra medium.
Right. Because whenever we've ordered anything or bought anything Formula One merchandise-wise, we have to go up a size
at
or
least,
two.
At least one size.
Yeah. Like, I have, like, I think a triple XL Haas rain jacket that fits me perfectly. Like,
it's triple X?
I think it's double XL. I was just trying to exaggerate for the, listeners.
I know you're 6 foot four, so I could see you squeezing into a triple XL, but...
But it's, yes, it definitely is. It's like the opposite of J. Crew.
I don't explain.
No, J. Crew is, everything is super small. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I guess it's the same as J. Crew. Yeah, I was mistaken. So everything J. Crew is the same kind of thing. They make it that Euro cut, you know?
Do they?
Yeah. So you have to always buy up when it comes to Formula One gear or J. Crew. And, yeah, I mean, I think this is Brian trying to pretend like he's not a McLaren super fan.
He is now.
And kind of lying about it because all the polls have come in. McLaren are the... favorite team.
He's just
and
following
Lando
the
is the favorite driver. He's, right. So it makes sense that someone would become a McLaren merchandise purchaser and lifelong fan. So good luck, Brian, with the rest of your life as a McLaren fan.
Yeah, and it should
you're,
be
you're
fine.
Locked in now. Once you buy your first shirt, you're locked into that team.
Yeah.
Like, I have that old BMW Petronas shirt, so I'm locked in.
Yeah, and they're,
Sauber.
They're not in the sport anymore, BMW.
Right guy, our Super Max fan chimed in, of course. Whenever Max does well or poorly, that is the tip of the cap we have to give him, right?
Yeah.
He chimes in regardless.
Yeah, so that's it, by the way, for the listeners that were on the ground. We're going to pivot now to just listener reactions from our inbox.
Let's knee him over to that.
So everyone knows this guy by now, if you've been listening to the show long enough. It's Ken Bila, our Max super fan.
Max super Max super fan.
He is never late to let us know that Max did well on any given weekend.
It was actually perfect. It was poetic, Ryan, where I was watching the Miami Grand Prix, and right at the end of the race, I think I like logged onto the Instagram to check messages or just see what was going on. And right when Max crossed the line, I saw in the messages Ken pop up with the dot, dot, dot. And I knew what was coming, the dot, 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 Max, 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 super, super, Max.
Ken waits for the anthems and the champagne spraying to finish, and then he dabs the tears from his cheeks, tears of joy, and then he gets to firing off on our direct messages. I love it. So this is what Ken had to say. Always creative in these messages, even though he's basically saying the same thing every time.
He keeps it fresh, though.
He's very creative. So he said, maximum points for Max, Max, super Max in Miami.
Yeah, Max Sammy Grand Prix.
3 for 3 when he has had red liability.
Yes, it's very true.
I love it. Ken, you're a legend. Great message as usual. We actually have a response, though. This is clearly from someone who is not a Super Max fan. This is another listener, Sam Corbin.
Yeah, I think he's still clinging to the Lewis Hamilton reign from before.
Yeah.
And pushing back on our Super Max fan who now is getting... some shine.
Yeah, so Sam texted us and he said, keep up the excellent work. Cannot wait for the next episode. Also, tell the Max Max Supermax fan that he could suck my balls, mate.
Yeah.
Suck my balls, mate.
So, by the way.
We've got a listener rivalry going here.
Yeah, and you know what? If I was Ken and I was a Max Max Supermax guy, I'd say, yeah, actually, you can suck my balls because I'm on the top step. So it makes it much easier for you.
True. Great stuff. Let's stick with Red Bull here. We got a hilarious voice message from
Emilio
in Mexico. So let me just set the stage here. It's right during the safety car period towards the end of the race. Checo had just pit on the fresh tires. Emilio was feeling really optimistic about Checo's chances.
Saw his window
to somehow steal something here.
Yep. He saw his window. He thought Checo was going to be slingshot out of that, free pit stop. And
Checo for the win.
I love
so,
it.
So, I mean, yes, I think Checo, it's interesting, Ryan, because we talk about the good luck, bad luck guys, right? And Max, obviously, as Ken pointed out, 3 for 3 when he's finished the races. Checo has had reliability issues where I saw the stat today. I think George Russell and Charles are the only guys who've completed every lap of this season thus far. Checo.
What about Lewis?
No, he's DNF'd or missed at some point. Hasn't he DNF'd?
I don't think so.
I don't know then.
Maybe why? Because he got lapped in Imola.
Yeah, so he got cut off. So he might have been a lap
or every
too
lap.
Short. Right, exactly. Classified not as all the laps.
Yeah.
So my point was just the two that have done every lap were George Russell and Charles. And
it's really, there's only two? That's nuts.
A couple guys who haven't done every lap were Checo missed one because of that retirement in the first race.
Right.
And I was just thinking about this race as well. He completed all the laps and finished fourth, but was down on power basically from right at the beginning.
You know? Yeah, he was down like 30 horsepower or something. Something really shitty.
Yeah, so Checo has really, ever since he's been at Red Bull, he's had some bad luck. Like the most luck he had was winning that Baku race when they had the restart.
Yeah.
And Hamilton hit the magic button, locked up, and would have won the race, but he gave it back to Checo and then finished out of the points.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, especially this season, Checo has struggled with that red liability.
Yeah, it's been pervasive.
And Ryan,
they haven't had a clean weekend yet, right? Has Red Bull had a weekend where both cars had no issues yet?
Yeah, they had a 1-2 podium the race before, didn't they?
In Imola?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They did not have any issues there.
Yeah.
Or in the sprint race either, right?
That was that not the sprint? Where was the sprint?
The sprint race was that same weekend, and they didn't have any issues in that as
no.
well.
No, they made up places, and they set themselves up for the
Okay, so they've had one weekend where both cars came home with zero issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's Formula One in motorsport, right, when you have two drivers. And I'm still waiting, Ryan. Like, remember our preseason talk about how many different race winners there would be?
What was the number we said? Like, I said eight different.
We said, first off, well, you know, both Ferrari will win, both Red Bull will win, both Mercedes will win, so that's six. Then you're going to have maybe McLaren compete, maybe one, maybe two out of that.
Right.
Maybe one from another off-ball team. So I think we were up to like nine. Will we end this season with just Charles and Max winning every race?
It's possible because Mercedes shit the bed. That's two more drivers that came out of the raffle, you know? Like we were thinking Mercedes would be competitive, so that assuming Ferrari, Red Bull, and Mercedes were all going to be competitive somewhat neck and neck, that's six drivers right there that could win races.
Thing is, we need some crazier races. Crazy races result from penalties or weather.
Carlos has become a basket case. Checo can't put it together when the car's reliable.
Luck, yeah.
Right?
He's been much quicker, but then some issue pops up on Sunday, you know?
Mercedes is not fast enough to be at the front. But also, Max and Charles are playing so nice so far. Like, I want to see them start getting aggressive. Charles has to.
I mean, yeah, the easiest way to do it is the two of them come together battling, and then we know we're having a fresh winner.
Yeah, and what gets lost in all of this, like, yeah, we're talking about how bad Carlos Sainz has been all season, but that guy still doesn't have a win in F1. You forget that. He's got, like, four or five podiums now, but he's approaching that record for most races without a win or whatever of someone who's reached a podium. Yeah, what did I say?
Yeah, no, I know you did. I was just refreshing my own memory.
The longer this goes on...
He is on pace to, break all those records of, like, car quick enough to get on the podium and not...
Yes.
Because his previous podium finishes were him doing a great job driving. Now he's in the car that's expected to be on the podium.
It's a and title he's not, fighter.
He still doesn't have a pole position.
You're right. I don't think he does.
No, he doesn't.
He's come close.
No, he's been second. I think a couple times. So, yeah, I'm just obviously we all do this. We talked about this with all the listeners, right? It's a tale of however many seasons because Mercedes, I think, have been one of the most consistent teams. I mean, look at George Russell is fourth in the driver's standings. Mercedes is actually pretty tight on Red Bull because they've had red liability issues, right?
It's all kind of tight because if you look at
And we're also only, what, five races in? I mean, come on. We're trying to extrapolate. We're not even a quarter of the way through the season, and we're, you know, extrapolating out the future in perpetuity.
That's what we do on this show, baby.
That is the beauty of being a blowhard talking head like we are right now.
Yeah, the most fascinating stat to me, though, right, like you said, five races in. But by all accounts, Ferrari has had this amazing start to the season, or at least what should have been an amazing start to the season, right? So they're only 6 points ahead of Red Bull in the constructors, and it's all because Carlos Sainz has just been fucking them. They should be so much further ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he did his job, I would say, in Miami. But
Red Bull,
the two races before, he was persona non grata.
Yeah, Red Bull can be leading the Constructors' Championship after Spain now.
They would be, you know, running away with it if they had red liability in the other half of the races.
Yes. All right, let's move on.
Let's move on, Ryguy.
Mailbox.
Hit us up with the Eric Meltzer here from USA. Hit us up on the gram. Eric Meltzer said, I can't tell if this Martin Brundle grid walk is the best or worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
the answer is a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's just something you've ever seen. It's a thing.
Yeah.
So I rewatched the fucking DJ Khaled interview, and I realized that guy can't string sentences together. He just says words. He just looks at stuff and says words. He's like a watered down hype man. He's just like cars, champagne, sky, Miami, racing. And then he just goes, another one.
Yeah, he's, what were those things, like the word graphics where...
He's a word cloud.
Yeah, a word cloud.
He's a word cloud.
He's a word cloud. Exactly. DJ Word Cloud.
DJ Word Cloud.
Not Khaled, DJ Word Cloud.
Exactly. Moot, our correspondent from Ireland, Darren Payton.
Yeah, chime back in.
Yeah, he was our sideline reporter at the Imola Grand Prix. He hit us up on Instagram and he said, Daniel Ricciardo is finished. Zach Brown... we'll be looking for a replacement soon. We said the same thing last episode.
Yeah, I think this is him responding to our banter about that we think Zach Brown is being polite, but clearly, unless Danny Ric does something drastic before the summer break, they're going to be finding a replacement going forward.
Yes.
Right?
Danny has to be lights out.
Yep.
No more mistakes, no more missing Q3, none of that bullshit.
So, Dara, next thing, Ryan, we need Dara to send us a voicemail and come up with his own tram song like all the other guys were singing when he was there at the Imola Grand Prix. We need him to come up with the Danny Ric. See you later, Danny.
Oh, there's a lot of material there to use.
We had more people chiming in, Ryguy. More Lamps hit us up before. Now we have more Lamps coming back in from the US of A saying Danny Ric is driving himself out of a seat, looking forward to his future NASCAR career. So now... More Lamps is extrapolating the future of Danny Ric's
career.
This
is just a bunch of hot takes from More_Lamps on Instagram.
Yeah, so looking forward to his future NASCAR career. This is the blame thrower. Everyone's getting shot here. Mick Schumacher is a fraud, doesn't deserve his drive. Why the fuck am I starting to kind of like Max? ! That's an interesting one.
It's probably a glitch.
But it's an awesome glitch, and it makes sense. Why the fuck am I starting to kind of like Max? The police escort to the podium in Miami was a joke. America is obsessed with the police, and it is gross. I like that. Half the country is defunding the police.
He's not wrong.
I don't know. Yeah.
He's not wrong.
And then he goes on to say, Joe's season is quickly shaping up to be the rookie year that could have been. I don't know about could have been. I think it might be the rookie year that never was, Ryan.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's my own commentary. And then he goes on to say, the bad luck has been real for my dude, and it is sad.
Let's talk about Guan Yu Zhou.
He's a big Joe bro. Yeah.
Yep.
And then goes on to say, Nicholas Latifi will go down as a worse driver than Taki Inoue. So, isn't UJE Day...
Yeah, UJE Day is worse than Taki.
UJE Day, they legitimately, after a few races, they yanked his super license.
They revoked his super license after I believe he wrecked Frank Montagny, the French driver. Yeah, I remember watching that race. He just flipped the guy's car over in a slow corner. It was amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, that is our dream guest if you guys want to try and lay some tracks by sliding into the DMs, UJE Day. But
UJE Day?
I think the English would be a barrier to entry because I've heard him speak or recent interviews and commentary on stuff. And I think it's a barrier to entry. But either way, we could get a translator in here and do it up.
Sure.
But yeah, what do you think of all this commentary? So Danny Rick, we kind of already covered that with Dara's comment. Sorry.
Yeah,
I think we've touched on that. I do like the idea of him going to NASCAR. I think Danny Rick would love that because the Aussies have what? Supercars is what they call it, and that's basically their NASCAR.
V8 supercars. Yeah, that's what he would do. He would go back to, in my opinion, he would go back to Australia. Home.
He hasn't been there in like 3 years.
And he would just run supercars. He would do the Bathurst 1000 and the 12 hours of Bathurst, all that good stuff.
Yeah. On the Mick front, I think for sure Kevin Magnussen has come in from the top rope and just smashed Mick thus far, but I think let the season play out, at least this weekend, it looked like Mick started to get a little more rhythm going. So I wouldn't be shocked if Mick and K-Mag were pretty level. Yeah. I mean, we commented on his big mistake.
It was a boneheaded error by Mick, but if that doesn't happen, he gets his first points.
And by the way, the good news is the Haas car is actually competitive enough where he's in the midfield making boneheaded errors. Remember last year? It was him and Nikita battling, getting lapped 18 times.
At least he's racing people.
Yeah. So he says also, why the fuck am I starting to kind of like Max? I think it's because we have, like you mentioned, that clean battle going on up front, and it's new blood, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think
everyone is liking Max and Charles, and eventually it'll become the same dichotomy that we used to have with Lewis versus everyone, you know?
Right.
Whoever is on top, half the people will hate him, half the people will like whomever else is competing, you know?
If Charles, with the way this is kind of trending, right, unless Ferrari's upgrades are legit in Spain, you know, Charles better get aggressive sooner than later. Otherwise, he's not going to have the opportunity to do it if Max has a big enough lead with, like, 7-8 races to go in the season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in my opinion, Charles has raced way too nice, right? He's been on pole a bunch where he's surrendered it to Max.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be on pole position and routinely give it up to the same guy over and over again.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it.
He's got to get his elbows out.
I think it's a mixture. I think Ferrari. We were talking about this, right? I think Ferrari has almost adopted the old Red Bull theory, right, of speed through the corners, and Red Bull now in this new generation has flipped to what Mercedes used to do against them of power, right?
Yes.
So it's funny. Red Bull has now sort of almost assumed the role of Mercedes in the previous era. And Ferrari has assumed the role of Red Bull in the previous era.
Yes, Ferrari has the king chassis. Red Bull has the king power. It's smart, though, to err on the side of power in Formula One because in the modern day, these seasons have gotten longer and the majority of tracks are power tracks in F1.
Just look at all the new tracks that have come out recently, right? The Saudi track, Straight City.
Power.
The Miami track. It had some short sections, but overall, a lot of big, long straights. Yep. Yeah.
Baku.
Exactly, Baku.
Monza.
Yeah. So then he took the shot at the police escort. I mean, it was sloppy, but it was also hysterical. I mean, if they didn't do that, what would we be talking about?
That's true. What would they have done with the camera?
It was great
work.
Fodder for the gang.
Yep.
Going on, Guan Yu Zhou.
Can I just say something real quick about that? Next year, make the gondola go to the podium. Make them ride the gondola.
It would probably go quicker, and it would also be more fun. Instead of the cool-down room, stick the three podium finishers into the gondola together.
Yeah. What they really needed was to be in an air-conditioned gondola, not riding on the back of a hot-ass motorcycle.
I agree.
Oh, no. They were on a golf cart, right?
Right. They had the two-motorcycle escort, and he was on like the sort of tricked-out double-decker golf cart.
Yeah. I mean, forget the police escort. The fact that they rode a golf cart to the podium is actually the most Florida thing ever.
Yeah, exactly. That is true. That's very Florida. Almost every neighborhood in Florida, you have to only drive around in golf carts.
Yes.
And then Guan Yu Zhou, I mean, the guy, Zhou Guan Yu Zhou, he's a forgotten man this season, that feels like, because Valtteri is performing so well, and Zhou Guan Yu Zhou either has bad luck or is never really in the points.
Yeah, his pace isn't bad. He's just has trouble putting it all together over the course of a weekend. I would like to ask more_lamps, what is your expectation for him? Like, what did you think he was going to be able to do this season? And from here on out, what would you consider a successful season for him?
Yeah. I mean, score points first off.
Right? Well, yeah.
That'd be a good start. But
he scored in the first race.
I think, Zhou did?
Yes. On his debut, he scored a point or two.
Hell yeah.
Like, okay. I think one
Sorry,
point.
I take it all back. I think the expectations are colored by now the performance of the Alpha, specifically Bottas in the Alpha, right? I mean, Bottas is consistently qualifying and finishing in the top half of the points finishers.
Dude, Bottas is a tenured F1 driver.
New Bottas. I know.
All right.
I know. Jotas.
Yes.
We need Jotas to show up, both of them.
Kuan Yu Jotas.
Yeah, Valter Yu Jotas.
All right. Last point here from More Underscore Lamps. He said, Nicholas Latifi will go down as a worse driver than Taka Inoue. So, question for you, More Underscore Lamps. If Latifi and Mazepin were teammates at Williams this season, who would be worse? Just chew on that. Get back to us.
Yeah, I don't think Latifi is as bad as everyone says. I think he's slow, but he's not like... Nah.
He's pretty
actually,
bad.
He is pretty
he's
dangerous
showing
because he's Mazepin-esque
car control this year, hitting the walls everywhere.
I take it all back, actually. Ryan, let's move on. You have to take this one from Samantha here.
All right, Samantha G from the USA hit us up on Instagram. She said, okay, so we can all agree that the TV direction for the race, as we've seen before, was complete and utter garbage. So, hot take. Are you listening, F1 TV? We need F1 Red Zone to box down and rotate to all the action so we don't miss the exciting bits, and stop watching fours in the stands make faces on cue from the cameramen, or weird shots of trees, clouds, Albon's mom texting, while Sir Hamilton and Russell Bott are duking it out. I agree.
Yeah, this is along the lines of what you and I were talking about, of along the red zone lines, right? They should, I think, maybe do replays or like flashback, right? Because you don't have to capture it immediately because you never know where something might happen. But quickly edit the footage, do a flashback, show it. Or we were talking about, you know, in golf when they highlight certain holes on a course and you could just watch a feed that's only that hole.
Yeah, that's a...
We're curious about about...
That's a very hard comparison.
Certain corners or you know, just like a security camera bounce between the hot corners, you know?
I think if the issue is capturing all of the wheel-to-wheel action on camera because there's too much of it going on at once, the simple solution is picture-in-picture, you cut to the other battles. You can tell if you look at the timing, even when we can't see the action, if you're looking at the timing column, you can tell where the action's going to be. If you see a guy 3/10 behind another guy, you know shit's about to go down.
They know it as well because you'll see on the scoring tower where it'll highlight three guys and go, the battle for sixth.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we're watching the guy who's leading by 10 seconds and you're highlighting on the tower the actual battle that's happening.
So just go picture in picture, bottom right corner, and show us that battle, either from an onboard or whatever. But this is not that difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
And I could do with less fan shots, maybe less celebrity shots. I enjoy some of the fan footage if it's like fans doing shoeys or some of the wacky stuff.
Yeah, I like the fans who are having a good time. Samantha was, I think, attacking the looks of the fans. I assume watching fours in the stand make faces. So not a fan of the looks of whomever they were panning to at the Miami Grand Prix.
She's calling out all the Instagram thoughts in the crowd down there in Miami.
Yeah, I guess so. So Ryan, AK hit us up on Instagram as well. New listener.
Now this is a new listener.
Yeah, reach out with a video. Why don't you take this one then? You're more familiar with
it. So he's a listener who's reaching out for the first time. He sent us a video of him and all of his boys in their F1 watch party in his apartment. He said, "Cheers, guys. Big fans. We are all big Ferrari fans, but watching Supermax drive off into the distance with a 7.5-second gap, it's going to be a tough season. We also have one very, very sad Danny Ric fan."
Yeah, so that was before the safety car in the battle at the end then. That was when he was opening up the gap and there was the sad Danny Ric fan, which, by the way, Danny Ric fans, as we've mentioned,
they're all sad.
All of our Aussie listeners who've hit us up, everyone's been sad except for Monza, basically, right? Yep. Yeah, right, guys. So
that's Danny Ric's only podium at McLaren, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's had another like second or third. It's been the race win and then straggling.
That's such an anomaly.
That's what I'm saying. That's why, as everyone keeps messaging us, right, I think he may be gone, super gone.
That kind of just shows you how volatile his mental space is right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Ryan Florivantenda chimed in.
Did you know how I was just saying how Max looks like he's about to pass out, like he can't breathe, and then the contrast between that and Sainz getting interviewed and his hair is looking so good? It's interesting.
Interesting. Oh, it's interesting.
It.
All right.
I love it. Floor, you are not wrong. Everybody's gay for Carlos Sainz. All the straight guys are gay for Carlos Sainz. Who couldn't want that hair and that man? Right, Moon?
Yeah, we talked about it in our Miami Grand recap of just, it looked like a ridiculous toupee flopping over. Like, it was so much hair folding over the side of his head, the way the wind was blowing and the way he was leaning. Yeah, I mean, the guy looked fantastic. And then, you know, it wasn't enough that his hair was flowing in the interviews. We mentioned it on the previous episode. He then rips his shirt off and he's sitting shirtless in the cool down room.
Yes.
I mean,
nipples on blast.
I mean, thirst trap signs was in full effect. The guy gets a podium after DNFing two races in a row, and all of a sudden he has to let it all hang out. The hair, the shirt's gone, you know?
I would say Carlos is winning off the track these days with that type of action. It's funny you bring it up, Floor, because I was watching qualies with a buddy of mine, Cam, and when they did the post-quali interviews, Carlos's helmet comes off, and literally both of us, two straight males, married, with kids, just say, look at each other, we go, God damn, look at that sweet Spanish moss just blowing in the wind. Carlos has absurdly good hair. That's why he's on the top of my hair podium.
Yeah, we did the hair podium before. I mean, he's a perennial all-star as long as he's been in Formula One.
And consider, I'm sure you all saw the video on our Instagram story over the weekend, he busted his fucking head open on the steel wall or the steel catch fence.
Imagine.
And if his hair still looks that good. He probably has stitches on his fucking head.
Exactly. Imagine if he didn't have the hair, he probably would have broken his skull.
That's
true.
That
beautiful mop probably protected his skull from fracturing when he hit that fence.
Yeah, it saved him. Moot, Floor went on to ask, who do you think would replace Danny Ric? Albon? Gasly?
No, I think they're going young in the system, right? McLaren has been grooming guys, right?
Well, there's always the Colton Herta rumor.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Brown's been kicking that around a lot, promoting that. Zach Brown, as we mentioned before as well, made the bet with Mario Andretti to drive the McLaren in Circuit of the Americas. So what if all of a sudden Andretti is piping hot in that McLaren? What if Zach Brown goes, hey.
Andretti, you mean Colton Herta? Oh, you're saying Mario Andretti?
Yeah. Because remember I told you, he promised him a drive at Coda.
Breaking news, McLaren signs 89-year-old
right.
Mario Andretti.
No, I'm being serious here. Like, what if, you know, whichever iteration of the McLaren that he gets to do the celebrity drive-in at COTA this year, what if all of a sudden Zach Brown and all the guys on the pit wall are watching him turn laps and they go, holy shit, he just broke, you know, the time that Carlos Sainz put in that McLaren 3 years ago.
Could.
And they go, we might have to just sign this old bag and give him one last run at a second championship.
He's 82, by the way.
Right.
I think he's still got some pace left in him. I think he could put up a quicker lap time than Nick Latifi.
So my answer is Mario Andretti. Ryan, who do you think is going to replace Danny Ric?
Well, if you believe the rumors, there's going to be a testing program for Colton Herta, according to Zach, or he's hinted at it. So might be Colton Herta coming over from IndyCar. Also, if I were
McLaren, that would be the masterstroke marketing move, and we know that he's a rainmaker and a marketing genius, right?
Yes.
So, for sure, it makes sense. But I think Mario Andretti is the bigger marketing play. So get him sized up for a race suit and get him in there for the 2023 season.
If I were McLaren, I would probably bring a little bit of cash to the table, and I would go after Oscar Piastri and get him for a season from fucking Alpine.
Yeah,
he's rotting away at Alpine.
Love it. Pull him, free him from the clutches of Alpine. Because, yeah, I don't think Ocon's going anywhere at Alpine. He's been fantastic this season, actually, if you look at the overall performance, right?
Yeah.
And Alonso has been kind of dreadful, but I think he can write his own, you know, ticket when he wants to leave. And I think he has unfinished business, and so he's going to extend. And it's probably a extend me, and they go, yes, sir. You know,
we'll
so
see.
I don't know the seat will open up at Alpine, but we'll have to wait and see. Crazier things have happened, right?
We'll see.
Cyril Abitable got a tattoo, so yeah. I won't be shocked by anything.
I would not be surprised, though. I'm going to put this on record right now. I would not be surprised if they kick Alonso to the curb. It's a new generation of cars. He's old as fuck. They might just, if he doesn't improve, they might just say halfway through the season, all right, it's time to move on from this guy.
Yeah, enough. We're paying you way too much to.
They have
not
a
finish.
They have a prodigy waiting in their wings, essentially, in Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, and a whole new market for sure.
Yeah.
So, Ryguy, let's get into some big hashtag Formula Brunch stuff. You want to take the first one here?
Sure. So Jenna hit us up from the USA, text message. She said Cuban Sandoz, empanadas, Landshark lager, mojitos, and key lime pie for Miami. Sunglass smiley face emoji.
my favorite thing is always when they include the emojis and we try to dictate verbally what the emojis are.
Everybody knows this.
That's why we need to get the video going, right? So we can flash the emoji on the YouTube.
The tweets and the grams will be on screen.
Yeah.
Luckily, the moms are into F1, so we went hard on hashtag Formula Brunch. The race was all right, but God, clapping hands emoji. Bless, clapping hands emoji. The cool down room, clapping hands emoji. Spicy pepper, horny face, horny smiley like face.
Wink eye, tongue out. Yeah, and I assume
it's
the
horny smiley face.
The chili pepper, this is in reference to the callback of Carlos Sainz.
Yes. Jenna is referring
ripping
to
the top off.
She's
yeah.
saying the race was all right, but God bless the cool down room. Yes. It is not the cool down room. It is the heat up room.
Yeah, it's the sauna for all the people watching, right?
Yeah. When Carlos took his fucking shirt off on live television, all of Miami just went up a couple extra degrees.
Yeah. No, God bless Carlos. God bless the cool down room. God bless football helmets on the podium. There are so many things to bless on this Miami Grand Prix. I was very much a fan of it, Ryan. As we mentioned,
absolutely.
It was more Miami than I could have ever imagined the Miami Grand Prix would be.
Yes. They pulled it off.
Yeah. Another Formula Brunch legend, actually, quickly going after the throne. Jenna is our queen of Formula Brunch, right? Greg is our king of Formula Brunch. But Caroline is looking to upend the monarchy. Hit us up on the
grand. She's the princess. Crown princess.
Yeah, and coming for the throne. So sent some pictures of the hashtag Formula Brunch spread that she had set up. And we put that on our story. It's in our highlight, et cetera, et cetera. Hashtag Formula Brunch. You know what to do. Saying this Cuban is so damn tasty. Cuban sandwiches, Ryan, this is me talking now, not what she was saying. Cuban sandwiches are my top seed sandwich, I think.
Yeah.
It is the greatest sandwich.
Yeah, so that was the theme here,
and
right?
That was what people go for Miami, yeah.
Yeah, Jenna made Cuban sandwiches. Caroline made Cuban sandwiches. You can't pass up. If I'm at a restaurant that has a good reputation and they have a Cuban on the menu, I have to order it.
Yeah, agreed. I'm always getting, there are certain items, French onion soup, Cuban sammies, et cetera, that I have to order if they're on a menu, and then I will learn my lesson or come back for more. You know? So let me refresh here. So she said, the Cuban is so damn tasty, and Sean, that's her beau, made the pina coladas fresh, spent all morning slicing strawberries. So they were strawberry coladas, or the strawberries, I think, were...
All morning. Pick up the pace, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, get the slap chop or whatever they're putting on QVC, you know?
Yeah,
but either way, I mean, the hashtag Formula Brunch, the monarchy of hashtag Formula Brunch, and the competitors have really been bringing it strong this year. We need some of our other listeners to hit us up with their little, even if it's, you know, one item that qualifies for hashtag Formula Brunch, hit us up with that, because we need to get the Formula Brunch train rolling down the tracks here.
Yeah, I miss Frankie's picture of just his espresso and a cigarette and a beer.
Yeah, just a tall boy, and none of them might be related to the track. It was always just the cigarette, the espresso, and whatever tall boy was on sale at the gas station down the street.
Yes, he's a Formula Bruncher, but also a simple man with simple pleasures.
Yes, so Ryan, enough with the hashtag Formula Brunch, but as we said, everyone step it up. Send us your hashtag Formula Brunch. Tag us in it, et cetera, and we'll start stepping our game up as well. But right guy, our boy Titty, Zach Tidwell, hit us up.
What's up, guys? Zach Tidwell here from Northern Virginia. I got a question for you guys. I jokingly made a podium of brews a couple weeks ago, and that got me thinking, what is on your podium of brews? Is it Foster's, 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 P1, P2, P3? You'll have to let me know. Mine, I'm an IPA guy, so IPAs come in P1 for me. I like a good sour, and like Belgians like Stella come in a nice P3. But I've actually never had a Foster's before, so that shows you how young I am. I will have to let you guys know. I'll call back with a review for it. So let me know what your hop 3 is for the beer podium. And have a good one. Can't wait for the next episode. Peace.
I love the Titty, Ryan.
Hop 3.
Yeah, the hop 3.
Very clever.
He's bringing the puns to the beer podium.
Yep.
So I was thinking about this. Number one,
you go.
Let's
first.
Go back into his audio for a second because he said, that's why I'm so young. I haven't had Foster's. Yeah. Foster's didn't come out yesterday, pal.
No, I think what he's saying is he's underage and he's legally not.
Like what?
He's legally not allowed to drink.
But they sell Foster's everywhere that underage kids buy beer. So
that's true. I know. Yeah. I know. They literally
Either
sell.
Way, I might have to. I might have to roll a Foster's over to him.
They sell Foster's in every 7-Eleven, right? It's basically at every 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they almost give you one at Safeway when you check out. If you buy a beer, it's like get a Foster's free. You know.
Yeah.
We can't sell these things otherwise. We just give it to you if you buy a beer.
Yeah. And you're not really missing anything. It's okay.
Yeah. So what the hop three? So
yeah, I've got my podium ready.
Here are the thoughts, because what he kind of broke down at the end was he made a podium of sort of varietals, right? Where he was saying, oh, I like IPAs, and then I like sours, and then I like.
He threw Stella out there.
Yeah, Stella. And by the way, for me, I was thinking about this. I actually have two podiums that I've kind of noodled. One is a hashtag Formula Brunch podium, so it's beers of, you know, what would have been Formula Brunch beers in recent years with tracks that were on the calendar. And then my personal podium of beers that are not Formula Brunch beers based on the tracks. And then his, as you mentioned, was varietals. He was saying IPA, et cetera, et cetera. So
right.
If you want me to break it down, Ryan, I'll tell you first my hashtag Formula Brunch favorites on my beer podium, my hop three.
Your hop three.
Yeah. So my number one, or should I go three to one?
Always 3-1.
Yeah. Okay. So my number three, it's not on the calendar this year, but it has been in the last couple of years, I believe, the Turkish Grand Prix, right?
Yeah.
Efes Pilsner.
Efes is good.
That's a really good Pilsner. I'm also going to show my true colors here because I'm a big Pilsner guy. So my hashtag Formula Brunch podium is basically all Pilsners. This is a lager, I think, but the second Mexico Grand Prix, Pacifico. Pacifico,
yeah,
is so good.
Pacifico is great. It's great.
And my number one top step, Austria Eggenberg Pilsner. Eggenberg is so good.
Yeah, Eggenberg is very crisp, very bright.
So my podium.
Plus, it's got the grenade pin pull.
Exactly. It's awesome. Kind of a mixture. It's like stepping into a time machine and Formula Brunching. So my hashtag Formula Brunch podium, Eggenberg Pilsner Austrian Formula Brunch. Second, Pacifico, hashtag Mexican Grand Prix, Formula Brunch. Third, Efes, Turkish Grand Prix, which we haven't had recently, but I wanted to crowbar it in because those are my top three Formula Brunch brews. And then I have a personal podium, but you can take the next podium run.
Okay. Here is my hop three for you, Zach.
Yeah, the hop three.
So coming in third on the bottom step is Cronenberg 1664.
Cronenberg is another really good one.
For me,
French.
It's your typical, I mean, every European country makes their big, bright, pale lager that you're supposed to drink when it's hot at a cafe in the street, right? No one does it like Cronenberg 1664. The French nailed the recipe. That is my favorite light, warm weather beer.
It's a fun bottle shape, too. It's like Michelob. Like Michelob original bottle shape. It's a very kind of unique bottle shape.
You're right, exactly. It's got that interesting neck.
Thick neck.
5.5%, nothing too crazy, okay? Number two is, and a lot of you who are not from the East Coast probably haven't heard of this. Flying Dog is the brewer. They're based out of the Baltimore area.
You gonna do it with the Old Bay?
Dead Rise.
Yeah.
their beer called Dead Rise. It's a summer ale. It's 5.7%, so again, nothing crazy, but it is made with the Old Bay crab seasoning, which I love, and I love it in this beer. It's phenomenal. I love it because I'm a white trash idiot. I like crab seasoning in my beer. That's my number two.
And, I mean, it's perfect synergy. We talk about synergy all the time. Whenever the Maryland Grand Prix happens in Formula One, that Formula Brunch will be killer. We'll get a bushel of jumbos, and we'll get the Dead Rise Old Bay brewskis, and, you know, you drink those while you're picking crabs, not much better.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. And number one, a local yokel brewery, Port City, you've probably heard of it. Their beer, Maniacal, which is a double IPA, 8.5%. We're getting a little heavier here.
Yeah, it gets stronger as you go up the podium.
My favorite beer is
really? Port City. Maniacal is your favorite?
Port City's Maniacal. A, because it's delicious. B, because one of the first dates I ever went on with my wife, I had that beer for the first time on tap, and it was.
So it's kind of your good luck charm now.
It blew my mind. The taste was amazing. It was a phenomenal night. Now I'm married to that woman. That beer is burned into my brain.
Married to the maniacal as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's burned into my brain forever, the nostalgia.
They make a good derecho as well. I like their derecho.
Yeah, but for me, maniacal is just one of the best beers that's brewed in this country.
Perfect. Well, this is funny. I don't think Titty was expecting us to go this deep. I already gave my hashtag Formula Brunch beer podium of Ephes third, Pacifico second, Eggenberg first. Ryguy ran through his. What was your 3-1?
Kronenbourg 1664 in third, Flying Dog Dead Rise 2, and Port City Maniacal first.
I love it. A lot of local flair in that one. But my personal podium, this is all...
Those beers up, by the way.
Oh, for sure. This is all accessible stuff. Third place is kind of a mashup for me on the personal side because we haven't had a German Grand Prix for like 4 years, it feels like, right?
Yeah, it does feel like forever.
And so I couldn't...
No, we had Nürburgring in 2019,
right?
2020. It was one of the COVID tracks.
Yeah. Was that when it was super wet
and cold?
Valtteri and everyone went into the wall and all that?
It was really cold.
It doesn't feel right because it kind of was forced. We haven't had a German Grand Prix, which, by the way, is a fucking sham.
It is.
We haven't had a race in Germany. But my third on the personal step, because I didn't feel right putting into my hashtag Formula Brunch podium, any sort of Festbier, Mätzen, you know, any of those, the Spatens, the Hofbräu, whatever it is, any of those are going to be fantastic, especially seasonally.
Saying Oktoberfest.
In the fall. Yeah, Oktoberfest, Festbiers and Mätzens, all that kind of varietals.
The malt-based stuff.
Basically any German beer, but that's, you know, third. But then specifics that everyone can get, my personal podium. Second step, Guinness. I mean, Guinness, always good.
First step is good, but it's not.
I'm going to seem like Mr. Commercial. Yeah, my first step is Budweiser, just classic Budweiser.
God.
I don't know, just something, Ryan. Maybe it's the nostalgia, maybe it's whatever, maybe it's the marketing, but when you're doing any sort of activity or not, and the weather is hot, a nice, cold, crispy Bud bottle, it has to be a bottle, is
so
fantastic.
So wait, let me ask you a question, because when Zach Tidwell asks us, what's our beer podium, what's our hop three, I interpret that as, if I'm stranded on a desert island, the beer that I'm putting on the top step is the only one I get ever again. Your answer is fucking Budweiser.
No, I don't know. Maybe this was more of my recommendation.
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
I don't know. They make a good brew. I'll tell you that much. But yeah,
not good enough.
The thing is, no, I'm with you.
Budweiser's
Moods
fine.
Moods change, taste change.
Budweiser's fine, but...
I could pick a million, but I just think...
Budweiser is just liquid bread.
I'm talking about my old pals. I can always turn to Budweiser on the top step. I can always turn to Guinness on the second step. And then any German beer,
for obvious reason,
my name is Helmut,
will
be my third step.
I'm sorry Helmut let you down this bad.
Well, I also, actually, let's not stop letting Titty down because I'm also going to let him down roughly here. I was, before I listened to his voicemail and you told me we're doing a beer podium, I was like, maybe we should not only do the podium, but also do our DNFs or our retirements of like beers that we think are terrible or we don't like. And one of my first DNF was going to be Stella. And that made his podium.
Stella's fine.
Stella, for me, sometimes it just seems too sweet, too plain.
Stella, to me, is the Corona of European beers because the instant it starts getting warm,
right,
which is really
that's
quickly,
my point.
It's
a temp thing.
It starts to taste like butt. Corona,
it tastes like butt.
Corona
tastes like butt.
Stella, as soon as they start getting warm, slightly warm, they taste gross.
So yeah, if you want a Mexican beer, treat yourself. Get Tecate. Pacifico obviously made my Formula Brunch podium, so get that ideally. There's plenty of other beers, but yeah. Yeah, either way, I mean, the problem is the podium, limiting it to three is impossible.
Yeah, this took a lot of thinking, but I stand by my three choices.
Yeah. You know what we might need to start doing, Ryan, is running our own races, either with fan voting or with our own simulations of beers. You know what I mean?
Where the fans
line
pick
up,
drink.
Line up all the American beers, and we do the grid of 20, you know?
We could
Budweiser's
kind of
on pole position, you know?
We could kind of do something because races are roughly 90 minutes long, you know, an hour and a half. We could do something where, like, the listeners pick a set of beers and you and I basically have to finish, like, the first one by lap 15, the second one by lap 30, the third one by lap 45.
Talking about, like, a live
power hour. Formula
race.
Power hour.
Yeah. No, a lot of noodling to be done because I think we should do some virtual beer races to figure out the true champions. And for sure, we should do some live power hour breakdowns with the fans. I think the move is during qualifying because you have a quick clock, you know.
That's true.
you have a lot of metrics that can dictate things, like there's a new person in first place or whenever someone gets knocked out. We'll noodle this. We're doing this live in the air, but it's stuff to think about. So if you all have any thoughts on what we just threw out there, holler at us.
Shout out to you, Zach. Great topic. Your voicemail turned this into a fucking beer podcast.
Yeah, this is the difficult thing. We could go for another, as you can hear. We're having to cut ourselves off. You know, we've been overserved by your voicemail today.
Yeah. One last thing, Moot, before you walk us out of this episode. I wanted to ask Floor Vent and where she's from. Obviously, I'm guessing somewhere in Europe. But with a name like that, I'm guessing Dutch, Belgian, I don't know. I'm just guessing here, but I'd love to know because we can't tell from her gram profile.
Yep. Send us the update on that. And thank you to everyone for reaching out to the mail. Box, box, box.
Box, 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 box.
You guys did a great job. That was a fantastic mailbox, box, box. Really got us pondering and thinking. And I think, Ryan, we have some marching orders here. We have to come up with a fun way to get to the bottom of all this beer stuff, you know?
I mean, we just gave them our podiums. We've gotten to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I guess so. But we're now trying to figure out ways to either do power hours and drink more during qualifying or other sessions and, yeah, figure out who the true king of beers is. You know, Budweiser claims the throne, but maybe we have to storm the castle.
Well, if you ask F1, it's Heineken.
Yeah, that's true. So thanks to y'all for joining us here for breaking down the whole mailbox box box from our listeners and the fan cams from the race. A lot of good feedback from the Miami Grand Prix. 9048 Purple's the phone number. At Purple Sector Pod is the social media. Subscribe to the show and spread the word. Rye Guy, anything for the listeners before we head out?
Yeah, start making your queso and paella. Because we're going to Spain, baby.
For sure. See you on the track.
Purple Sector.
Oh, it's purple.
Purple.
Three purple sectors.
Three purple sectors.
Yeah, the car is terrible to drive. Very difficult.
I want to change things. I want to stop Mercedes dominating.
Honestly, what are we doing? Racing or pink car?
Okay, Lewis, close that gap as much as you can. It's hammer time.
It's not getting the blue flags.
How did you call that last lap incident? Brainless.
Daniela, a hard fought fourth place in the end for you.
Hard fought? Not really. I thought that was boring.
So I think we can call Max Verstappen the baby-faced assassin.
I think we clench our butt cheeks and hope we stay there to the end, Martin.
I'm driving like a grandma.
What the f***?
Looks like my wife's driving that car.
Yeah, tell the safety car to slow down.
He's stroking that Ferrari.
I know I'm losing time to Vettel, but I really don't care.
They are racing.
So it's happy hour, basically.
People just simply don't have the balls to stick to what they say.
Come on, Mamma Mia, what the hell is going on?
A firm Valtteri position, stay as they are. We'll talk about it after the race.
We are here to race and not to just hang out, so...